Mana3 Media.
Branches is not only a place to go to find help for mental, emotional, and behavioral issues. Branches is just as interested in the physical well-being of the people that we care for. That is why Branches Wellness is here to provide help in losing weight, in just overall health management, and in medication management. Body, soul, and spirit. Care for the whole individual. So Branches, the place to turn to find hope and healing in the midst of a hurting and sometimes difficult world. Let's face it, the world is just a messy place. There's probably not one of us that hasn't heard a lesson or some information at some point and said, hey, with all that's going on around me, what difference does that make? I'm Dr. Mike Courtney. I'm a counselor, a lifelong recoverer, a husband, a father, a business owner, a grandfather, and I love to ask this question, what difference does that make? Welcome to What Difference Does That Make? A podcast that's dedicated to helping you live a healthier, happier, and holier life in a sometimes very difficult world. I'm Mike Courtney, and speaking of a very difficult world, we're going to do this a little bit different. Although I think back, almost every podcast I start out by saying we're going to do this a little bit different. Normally, there's kind of a little banter and repartee between David Wilkerson and myself, my compatriot in arms. Let me just say thank you to David for all the hard work that he does to make this podcast possible. But today, because of the length of the interview, we're going to leave that out. And just very briefly, let me say to you that this is an interview with Dr. Paul Myers. Dr. Myers is a family practice physician in our community. He's a great man of God, a smart guy, great doctor, good friend. And I asked him if he would just sit down and have a conversation with me, not about COVID. I think we're about done hearing about COVID, but about the vaccine. It has become so divisive and so politicized that it's hard for us to really just get good, solid answers. Now, the goal of this podcast is not to sway you one way or the other, but just to give you some really good information so you can be knowledgeable as you make a decision, a choice about what's best for you, for your family, for your community, for that kind of thing. There'll be more information in the show notes if you need those. David always does a great job putting things there. If you'd like to know more about Branches, about the blogs, those kinds of things, you can go to branchesblog.com, www.branchesblog.com. I do almost weekly stuff there. But for today, this is just an interview about this one topic, and I think you'll find it helpful. I think Paul did a great job. You'll find it helpful. And whatever you do as you listen to it, I just want you to be open-minded and ask God to speak to you about the choices and the decisions that you make. So this is actually going to be part one. We decided to divide it into two parts. So this is part one. Without further ado, let's get started with Dr. Paul Myers and a discussion of the COVID vaccine. I'm here with a great friend of mine, Dr. Paul Myers. In the interest of full disclosure, Paul and I go to church together, and we have been involved in different kinds of things through that, but also just great friendship. And we meet for lunch or breakfast every once in a while. When I can talk him into buying, we meet for lunch or breakfast. But I've asked him to come and visit with me today. So, Paul, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You're because this is audio, not video, you've come right out of your office.
That's
so
right.
You look very official. Yeah. Yeah. You look like a whole night of doing surgery or something like that. So, yeah. Speaking of that, Dr. Myers is just that. He is a doctor here in town. In fact, practices family medicine. Mm-hmm. Have you had a good day? Was this a good day?
Yeah, just half day. So what bad? Just typical seeing patients.
Yeah, that's good. We're going to talk about something specific, but in a normal season of life, if there is such a, I think I remember that there were normal seasons of life.
Yeah, exactly. Before the mask.
What do you do
What do you do mainly? What do you see most? Can you say?
Oh, I see everything. Because I practice medicine, we see a very broad range of things. And so as I'm not a specialist, I see everything from hypertension to well visits to diabetes to chronic kidney disease for a very broad range of things. Yeah. I had a specialist who is a gynecological oncologist.
Wow, that's really very specialist.
He said, specialists know more and more about less and less until eventually they know everything about nothing. And primary care docs like me, we're generalists, right. And we know less and less about more and more until eventually we know nothing about everything.
Well, that's very humorous for somebody who's sitting here getting ready to go to the doctor. I think, oh man, I don't know which one of those.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, speaking of knowing nothing, Paul, I invited you to have a conversation about something that we still don't know. I don't think we know as much about as we want to, but we certainly know more about it than we did 2 years ago.
Absolutely.
And that is, well, let me back up a little bit. I didn't invite you here to talk about the coronavirus. We kind of need to talk about that to get into it.
Sure.
But really talk about the vaccine.
Right.
And I don't know in my lifetime if I ever remember something that seems to be so much about health and well-being but has become so politicized that it's just hard to even get a straight answer, it seems about all that.
And that's exactly right.
Do you find that in your practice that you spend as much time doing counseling as you do?
Yeah. Spend a lot of time just talking to people about the pros and cons of vaccines, but this one more than any vaccine that I've ever given, explaining how it works and, you know, its benefits, potential side effects. I draw on paper to show people how it works, the whole thing. I've actually even, believe this or not, I've actually had patients get mad at me and you know, find a new doctor because I recommended that they get this vaccine.
That's funny. Well, why don't we, if it's all right, let's start talking about that, but back up just a little bit and talk about the coronavirus. What is it? What is a virus?
They've been around forever, and they typically have been, you know, viruses that infect animals, anything from, you know, camels and cats and cattle, but also coronaviruses that can cause the common cold. And so they've been around for years and years and years. But when this new one came out, that's why they called it a novel coronavirus, because it was a new coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And so the coronavirus of 2019 or COVID-19, that's where that name came from.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of these, like we've had some here in the past few years that have been more deadly, like, you know, these SARS that we saw here a few years ago, that was a coronavirus.
Okay. I've never made that connection.
Yeah, it was a coronavirus as well. The Middle East respiratory syndrome, that's still kind of floating around here and there. It's quite deadly and it's very dangerous. But fortunately, though, that one is not as common and as widespread as, you know, COVID-19. Right. They actually get their name from, if you look at them under a microscope, the spike proteins that everybody you hear about actually kind of studs its surface. So when you look at it under a microscope from a section, it looks like a crown, or that's the term corona.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Let me ask you, this, I mean, there might not be an answer to this, but as you mentioned, okay, SARS and then the Mid-East respiratory virus and those kind, in your history as a physician, is there a more serious progression? Is COVID-19 more dangerous than COVID-15? You know,
right. Well, this is actually probably one of the more deadly, overall impactful coronaviruses. As I said, you know, SARS and the Middle East respiratory syndrome, it's not as widely spread,
right?
And it's not as easily spread. Fortunately, this one is just quite contagious. And I think it's had a global impact in, you know, in a year. It's killed hundreds of thousands, millions of people.
Because of the contagion.
That's exactly right.
But we don't, it's not necessarily a progression where we would say, okay, COVID-21 is going to be worse than it keeps getting worse and worse.
Right. Well, and remember, COVID-19 is based because it was discovered, if you will, in 2019.
Right.
Yeah. And so the progression of that is actually what we would say these variants that are, this particular coronavirus seems to be mutating, and all viruses mutate and they all change. And that mutation, that subtle change in some of its genetic code, if you will, produces these variants.
So a Delta variant.
A Delta variant. That's exactly right. And so, you know, a variant is basically just that particular virus that has mutated in such a way that it's changed its genetic sequence, that it's a little different than its reference virus or that the from the original virus that came out. And so in this case, the original COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2 that came out in late 2019 from China, that these variants are just a different enough to where, and they're more appropriately called variants of concern, because if you take 10 people who have COVID and you sample that virus from all 10 people, there's likely to be subtle genetic differences among all of those particular coronavirus. However, that's not necessarily a variant in the way you hear it explained in today. And so these are variants of concern. And so far in our country, there have been four variants. You know, there have been Alpha, Beta, Gamma, and now Delta, which is Delta is the more
seems
one,
to be the
yeah the worst one so
right.
far
yeah
the worst
okay.
one so far
yeah well so and again I mean we it, by this point we've heard all kinds of things about the coronavirus, probably some true, some not true, just all everybody has their own story. I remember, thankfully it's kind of gone away, but I remember you would see on Facebook a lot, do you actually know anybody that has died from the coronavirus? And I would say, I know lots of people.
Yeah.
So we've kind of, the myth of it at least has kind of gone away, I hope.
Yeah.
But where we are now, and what I really wanted to get to with you, if it's okay, is not just, okay, it's here. We know it's here. Let's acknowledge that. It's serious.
It's a real thing.
The vaccine now it seems like we're no longer arguing about the coronavirus. Now we're arguing about the vaccine.
The vaccine.
We have three at least.
In this country.
Three
approved in this country.
What are they? What are the difference in the vaccine?
Yeah. And so that's a good question. And that's what really everybody wants to know what are the differences between these three vaccines? So you have, first let's talk about the...
Before you answer that, let me just say, I've had one. I'm not going to tell you which one it is. So I hope.
Right.
I hope you're not going to hurt me.
Well, I mean, if you took any of them, you're better off than not having any of them, right?
Yeah.
And so, the first one is probably it's we'll talk about it separately because the other two are very similar.
Okay.
So let's say Johnson & Johnson vaccine or J&J. It's a one shot vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's two doses are being studied.
Okay.
But they're still gathering numbers on that. It's as far as how good it is in the original studies, it was found to be, and I've got wrote me a little notes here so I can keep up with all these numbers, but it was found around 66% in preventing COVID infection.
Okay.
So it's around 66% effective.
Right.
And around 85% effective in protecting against severe disease. So you can get it, but it's about 85% effective and keep you from dying from it, basically, or ending up in the ICU with it. And that's from their original clinical trials. Now, it is what is termed a non-replicating vector vaccine.
Okay.
Right? And so and so important to know here that this is really the first time that this kind of vaccine has been used in humans.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we hear about the other two vaccines that these are brand new and these kinds of things. But this is really the first time this type of vaccine has been used in humans, at least at this scale for sure. And so, but with that said, now they've had years and years and a few decades of researching this type of vaccine. Okay. And it's actually been used for, you know, half that time at least in veterinary medicine and giving it to animals. Mm-hmm. So it's not a new thing,
right.
Just the first time we've really used it at this scale in humans. And so what this kind of vaccine does, it just takes some genetic material. And in the case of Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine, that's what we're talking about. It takes some genetic material that is specific for the spike protein of COVID.
Okay.
Okay. And so it takes a little piece of COVID genetic material that's designated only for the spike protein, and they wrap it in a virus, not COVID virus. They wrap it in a harmless virus.
Right.
And in this case, it's an adenovirus, which is a different type of virus.
Right.
Again, one that has caused very, very mild, cold infections,
right,
basically.
Right.
So they wrap it in that virus, and that is the vector,
okay,
for this type of vaccine. And that particular vector, that adenovirus, in this case, has been modified so that it cannot replicate. So it's a non-replicating vector vaccine. And so when it's injected, that vector will basically come in contact and enter some immune cells in our body. That genetic material attaches to something in our cells called a ribosome.
Okay.
And the ribosome is on an organelle called the endoplasmic reticulum.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so these are just basic terms in biology and cellular biology. So the endoplasmic reticulum in our cell is basically just a manufacturing plant. Its job is to make stuff.
To make more.
That's right.
Right.
It's just a plant, and it makes stuff. Makes all kinds of stuff. And the ribosome, if you want to think of what it does, it's basically the foreman or the supervisor, and its job is to just read directions in what to build.
Okay.
And so this little piece of genetic material will attach to this ribosome, and the ribosome will read the directions.
Mm-hmm.
The directions are mRNA.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's familiar with this term,
right,
mRNA,
right.
Now. And so, but it reads this genetic transcript called, which is mRNA, and builds a small portion of the spike protein. It actually builds COVID-19's spike protein. And in that case, it's shipped out onto the cell wall,
mm-hmm.
and that's presented and shown to other immune cells that recognize that, hey, this is not us.
We don't like this.
That's right. This is not us. This is not supposed to be here. And that's your body's natural response to that is to then start building antibodies against that spike protein that are can put out into circulation and are there to start attacking and form a bigger immune response in the event that you become infected with COVID and its spike protein is what's seen.
Let me ask about that, Paul. One of the things that I have heard, and so I just want to clarify for me, one of the things I've heard is that what's different about the COVID vaccines, and maybe here's where the Johnson & Johnson is different from the other two.
Mm.
What's different is that you're not actually infected with the coronavirus.
Right.
Where in other, my understanding is a flu vaccine, for example, you're given a little bit of the flu and you kind of get... Are you saying that with the Johnson & Johnson, you are? Is that...
So even with the flu vaccine, you're not only not given the flu, you're giving up... You're given small pieces of the flu that creates an immune response.
Okay.
And so you're not given the whole flu virus.
Right. Okay.
You're not given a weakened flu virus. You're given a little small portion of a protein that's on the flu virus.
So the body recognizes that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
In the case of the flu virus, it's common to the flu viruses.
Yeah.
It's something that is common to all the flu viruses.
Yeah.
And this spike protein
is
something that's common to the coronavirus. Yeah. Remember, that's what studs the surface that looks like a crown under the microscope.
Right.
So it's something that's common to all the coronaviruses. So they will give you a small portion, a protein of that spike protein in the case of Johnson & Johnson that your body reacts to and responds to. So it's not the coronavirus. It can't infect you with the coronavirus or anything like that. And so,
because we're going to talk about the fears that people have and all that. And absolutely. That's one of the fears. Well, I don't want them putting that virus in me.
100%. Yeah. And so I think the point is that needs to be made here is that mRNA is what, you know, people hear. Again, right. This is what we've all heard about. It stands for messenger RNA. Remember, the ribosome reads the message.
Okay? Right.
So the M stands for messenger.
It's message.
It's messenger ribonucleic acid is what that stands for. It's not.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yo. And so it's not some kind of new technology that was invented in January of last year.
Right.
Anything like that. It's actually very, very, very normal and is a natural middleman intermediate that is in every single cell in our bodies every single day. They work 24 hours a day, 365 days a week. They make so many countless things. In fact, life could not go on without mRNA in our bodies.
We're not completely changing our DNA.
This is something that is common and a common response to every cold virus, every flu virus, and even the people who have been infected with COVID-19, the way their bodies have mounted a response and produced antibodies against COVID-19 is through mRNA. It's been around since the existence of man.
Yeah, that's a good statement.
Absolutely.
So that's the Johnson & Johnson.
That's the Johnson & Johnson.
I still feel okay.
Yeah.
The other two are more similar, Pfizer and
Moderna. Yeah. And so these are, we'll talk about these as a group because they're both mRNA vaccines. All right. Okay. And so they are two shot vaccines.
Right.
And the Pfizer is given 3 weeks apart and the Moderna shot is given 4 weeks apart.
Okay.
And they are both essentially 95% effective in preventing symptomatic COVID from their original studies. Now, these two vaccines, again, are mRNA vaccines. Remember, while this is a newer type of vaccine, this is not new.
Okay? Right.
mRNA has actually been around, or as far as studies and doing therapeutics with it, it's been around for about 3 decades.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is not something that's new. And so the way they work is they actually just take mRNA that codes for the antibodies. And so this would be the same code that the antibody, the genetic material or the protein that Johnson & Johnson puts in you that produces antibodies. They just take the mRNA code and wrap it in like a lipid or a fatty wall that helps it get into the cells. And once it gets into the cells, again, that mRNA attaches to the ribosome, the supervisor, the foreman of the manufacturing plant, the endoplasmic reticulum, and it just builds antibodies. And that's just really, it just a shortcuts the antibody or the vaccine or the immune response a little bit. It works exactly the same way. You end up with the exact same result. The benefit here is, I think, as opposed to Johnson & Johnson, which again is a decent vaccine, but Moderna and Pfizer are superior vaccines in that they prevent infection 95% of the time, where Johnson & Johnson is around 65-66% of the time in their original studies.
This is very, very lay terms. So it sounds to me like the Johnson & Johnson is doing something to get your body to produce the antibodies.
Right. So it's inducing an immune response.
Yeah.
Right.
And so about 2/3 of the time your body does, sometimes it doesn't, where the other two are saying, hey, let's not take the chance of your body doing it. We're going to go ahead and put the antibodies in there.
Right. So and you're not really putting the antibodies. You're just giving your body the directions.
The message.
Right.
Yeah.
You're giving them the directions to make them. That's all. And that's really, it's just a shortcut process. And so, you know, it's like any real therapeutics that we've ever done in medicine. I mean, we figure out how the body works and we either, you know, manipulate that or use that to our advantage.
Yeah.
And so now we, you know, for years and decades, we've known how the body's immune system works, and really we are finding out more and more, you know, every single year. And so this is just because it's new doesn't mean it's bad.
Right. Right.
It's just, we understand how our body works more and more. And so this is just a way that we give directions to our bodies to kind of shortcut that process.
That's
a
good.
Little bit.
That's, yeah. You know, one of the things that just came to my mind as you said that, in almost everything, knowledge builds on knowledge builds on knowledge.
Right, right.
So in almost everything, we get faster.
Yes.
As we, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff about working on my car, you mm-hmm. know, that I don't have to go back and relearn because people have learned long ago. And so now it's much faster to do this thing.
Sure.
So we shouldn't be terribly alarmed that we've been studying this delivery system for a long, long time.
Right.
And so, oh yeah, we don't have to go back and reinvent that. So right. that allows us to produce something faster.
I think. For sure. I mean, you brought up like working on cars. Well, when NASCAR first came out, I mean, those original NASCARs weren't rolling around the racetrack at, you know, 180, 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know, so we've learned more about motors and how they work. Right. And you know, these engineers and mechanics are able to build cars now that, you know, 200 miles an hour plus.
Right.
And so it's the same in, really, if you want to think of it, in the world of medicine. Mm-hmm. I mean, we come up with new therapeutics, new drugs, new cancer medicines. I was talking to one of my patients this morning about a new diabetes medicine that he is on. And, you know, this was in the same context as in talking about the vaccine, because he asked me about the vaccine.
Yeah.
And he's on a medicine called Jardiance,
right.
Okay, which is a newer type within the last couple of years or so of diabetes medicine. And the way that medicine works, it manipulates a channel in the kidney that was already there, and it's already gets overloaded sometimes in patients whose blood sugar is too high.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we figured this out, and we produced a medicine now that, hey, opens this channel and makes you just basically, you know, waste a lot of sugar out, and helps to control your diabetes. So, and you know, a lot of patients are not scared of it. It's a newer medicine, though.
I started saying, isn't it funny that we are not alarmed by that?
Yeah.
But some of
yeah, exactly.
We'll finish this interview in part two, our next episode on what difference does that make. The point of this is not to tell you to decide one way or the other about whether or not to be vaccinated. The point is to say that we are all children of God and in the same family and have a responsibility to one another, so that the choices and decisions that we make need to be made in a reflective way about what would God want, how does God want us to live, how does God want us to connect with one another, just to make your choices based on good information and an understanding that God is, that we're all connected and God is in all that. Thank you again for listening. God bless you as you kind of navigate your way through all of this. I believe in you. I believe that you make right choices, and I'm glad that you do. Now, just a reminder, we'll finish this interview in part two, our next episode on what difference does that make. Above everything else, love yourself today, because God does.
What Difference Does That Make with Dr. Mike Courtney is part of the Mana 3 Media Network. It is hosted by Dr. Mike Courtney and is produced and edited by me, David Wilkinson. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We'd love for you to subscribe to What Difference Does That Make wherever podcasts are downloaded. Be sure to check out our episode show notes. You can learn more about Branches Counseling Center on Facebook and Instagram, and you can check out more podcasts by Mana 3 Media, including my own, Dad Matters, on Instagram at Mana 3 Media. That's M-A-N-A, the number 3, Media.
To find out more about Branches, I encourage you to go to branchescounselingcenter.com or call 615-904-7170.